Joshua chapter 1. We'll begin reading with verse 10. I'd like to talk to you today about Joshua's challenge and the people's commitment. I have a story to share with you at the beginning here of a challenge, and then at the end of the message, we'll talk about the commitment. We'll finish the story. When Robert Moffat, Scottish missionary to South Africa, came back to his homeland to recruit co-laborers in the African harvest of souls, he was greeted by the fury of a cold Scottish winter. Planning to speak at an old stone church, Robert was excited at the prospect of being among his own countrymen to share his vision of the wilderness of Africa and the desperate need for missionaries to go to the dark continent. Braving the snow, wind, and bitter cold of that night, he finally arrived at his destination. He anticipated that the journey would be profitable, for by prayer he was prepared with a Bible text he believed the Lord had impressed upon him to give to the congregation. The divinely inspired text was, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man," Proverbs 8:4. Because of the severity of the weather, Dr. Moffat was not surprised to have only a small gathering. But what did cause him to wonder if he had indeed heard from the Lord as to the text was this: there was no men assembled that night, only ladies. How was he to appeal to a congregation of women to take the gospel to Africa? Surely they would not likely respond. Few women could be expected to withstand the dangers and inconveniences of the jungles of the continent where he labored. He decided, however, not to change his text, even though no men were present. Perhaps the Lord was going to raise up some prayer warriors from among those faithful few attendees that blustery night. After the message, the ladies graciously thanked Dr. Moffat for his inspirational sermon and promised to pray that the Lord would raise up a mighty man of God to take the hope of Christ to the Africans. Bidding him farewell, they bundled up to face the bitter cold, and they left the kirk, the Scottish word for church. Perhaps feeling a bit disappointed and perplexed at what seemed to have been an inappropriate message to a female-only gathering, Dr. Moffat put away his notes. Thinking that the church had long been emptied, he was a bit startled to see, and we'll finish the message, the story later on in the message at the end. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. After Joshua received the challenge from the Lord, without hesitation, he goes to the people and he tells them that it's time to take the land. First, he goes to the nation as a whole and addresses them. And then he comes to a specific group within the nation of Israel and addresses them. First of all, I would like to notice that there is this challenge to readiness that Joshua gives them. Joshua tells the people to get ready to go into the land of Canaan, the land that had been promised to them. This is the words that they had been waiting to hear for 40 years. 40 years they wandered in that wilderness, and finally the time has come. And Joshua says, get yourself ready. We are going into the land of promise. However, before they actually went in, they had to prepare themselves. They had to get ready. God told them that they had to prepare some food. You see, the manna that God fed them with in the wilderness was about to stop. God told them that He would provide manna supernaturally for them as long as they were in the desert. But when they got into the promised land, then the manna would stop. It would cease, and they would have to prepare their own food. The manna was desert diet. But now, in the promised land, they were moving on to something far better. They were going to a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a rich land, a land that contained many blessings for them. And what had worked in the wilderness now would not suffice in the land of promise. The same is true for us today. Before we can enter into our Canaan, before we can enter into the promised land of victory, we have to prepare the land. Our lives might have to change. The things that we feed on might have to change. This is why so many people never really enjoy the victorious Christian life. They simply refuse to make the changes that are necessary, to make the adjustments that are necessary to live in spiritual victory. The fact is, if you expect to walk in victory, then you will have to live by an entirely different set of rules than before you were a Christian, or maybe before you even were a Christian who was on fire for God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we become a Christian, old things pass away, all things become new. There's a change that comes over us, a change that takes place. And the things that we used to do, we no longer do. We walk in newness of life. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I'm not going to comment on this much, but I would just like to read this passage of Scripture to you, and I'll let the Holy Spirit sink into your heart. Colossians chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, that means put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So God says there are things that you have to put off. There are some things that you can no longer do. You are a new person, born again. You walk in a new way. You have a new life, a new spirit that is put it within you. And so I simply ask you the question, what will you have to do to get ready for Canaan? What do you have to do to come to a place of victory in your life? What do you have to do to get ready to experience all of God's blessing for your life? What do you have to do to take the next step, to go to the next level in your Christian walk, your Christian maturity? So Joshua gives them a challenge to get ready. And then there is the challenge to responsibility. Now Joshua addresses the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. These tribes had sought and gotten permission from Moses to remain east of the Jordan, just outside of the Promised Land. Why would they make such a request? Why would they request that they could stay outside of the Promised Land and not actually enter into the Promised Land? Because the land east of the Jordan, the land outside, was a land that was good for raising cattle. That's what their livelihood wanted. They wanted their livelihood to be. That's what they wanted to do. And so they came to Moses and they make this request. Can we live on the east side of Jordan? Can we live right at the door of the Promised Land? We won't go in. Moses said, I don't know if that's a good idea. I think you should come along with everybody else. You're going to have to fight along with your brothers, because God wants us to possess the land and drive out the enemy. And they said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will help our brothers conquer the Promised Land. We'll fight with them. But when the land has been conquered, when the land is theirs, then we will settle outside. We'll settle on the east side. We'll let our families be there. Our cattle will be there. But we'll go on and we'll help our brothers, and then we'll come back and we'll dwell in the land outside. And Moses said, I'll grant that request. But then he said in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, a verse that every kid has heard from mom and dad. Okay? Be sure your sin will find you out. Preachers love that verse. It's actually Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. The whole verse says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Most preachers have preached on fervor from this text. The usual interpretation is that overt sins and sins that we try to cover up will eventually be found out and uncovered. And although that is a biblical truth, it is not the teaching of this passage. Remember the context. The Israelites are about to cross over Jordan, enter the Promised Land. These tribes of Reuben and Gad come to Moses. They get the permission to stay in the land that is fertile and suitable for cattle and sheep to be raised. And they said, bring us not over Jordan. And then Moses gives them the permission on the condition. I will permit this on the condition that you will not just relax and rest in the luxury of the fertile land on the east side of Jordan without becoming involved in the battle. If you fail to go back on your word, if you don't enter into the battle with your brothers, then be sure your sin, the sin will find you out. You will be punished. Reminding them again that they had to fight alongside their brethren until the land was conquered. While these people eventually did settle in the land of prosperity, they were also in the land of danger. Years later, when the Assyrian army attacked from the east, these tribes were the first to go away into captivity. There are some powerful lessons for us in these verses. We have literally legions of Christians who are just like those 2.5 tribes. They want to stay in the land of plenty. They want to live a life of luxury. The primary thing that motivates them is getting ahead in life. In other words, they are more materially minded than they are spiritually minded. These are the Christians who are not fully committed to God. They don't really want to go in and enter into the fullness and the abundant life that God has for Christians. They just want to settle where they are. They just want to take it easy and live their lives. And they are the first ones that fall into temptation. They are the first ones that the devil is able to come and carry off into captivity. I want to challenge every single one of you today to enter the fullness of what God has for you. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for anything less than what God has for you. I'm reminded of people who play along the edge. You know, before if you sit on a windowsill, there's a good chance you might fall out. That's what happened to a guy one night as he was hearing Paul preach, sitting too close to the window, and he fell out that window. There are Christians that try to live on the edge. You know, eventually it's going to get you. It's going to catch up with you. And as I was preparing this message, I could not help but think that we are building a new church. And again, that's what this message is centered around this new year. We are going to be building a new church. We're all going to enjoy the benefit of that new church. But please, we need every single one of you to go in and do battle and possess the new land and have it conquered. We need every single one of you to become involved in the battle. We don't want anybody to say, oh, I'll just stay out here and watch it get built, and when it's all done, then we'll go and we'll enjoy the new building. I'm challenging all of you to come alongside of us, because we need everybody if we are going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. If we're going to get rid of all the giants, we need every single person involved in the battle, not just a few. We won't be successful with just a few. You know, they say 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Let's turn that around here. Let's have everybody do something. You don't have to do a lot, but you can do something. You can pray for the success of the church. You can pray for those who are building. If you can't do anything else, you can stay in the battle, as the song says, through the sacred place of prayer. Every single one of you need to be in the battle. And if you're not in the battle, you become easy prey for the enemy. The truth is that no Christian has a right to be at peace during the war. No Christian has the right to stay on the east side of Jordan and enjoy the luxury of the fertile plains while the rest of us are fighting on the west side. Should I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Am I to receive and never give? Am I to eat and never feed? Am I to wear and never clothe? Am I to drink and never offer a cup? There is a war going on. Which side of the Jordan are you on today? Which side are you on? We, like the Israelites, are to cross the Jordan and fight the battles until the battle is over. And then we can enjoy the spoils of victory, returning to our families, and someday see the face of our Savior as we hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we have Joshua's challenge, and secondly this morning we have the commitment from the people. They commit themselves to a life of surrender. These people make their stand with the Lord. They promise absolute obedience and surrender to the will of God. You know, that is the only way spiritual victory can come to any life. There must be total, complete, and absolute surrender of every area of our life to the will of God and to His divine leadership. Anything less than that is hindering the work of God in your life and mind. Is there anything that you're holding back from the Lord this morning? And you know what it is, because the Holy Spirit, that's the only thing He's concerned about. He's not concerned about the 99% we give to Him. He's concerned about the 1% we're holding back for ourselves. And that's what He addresses. Some are like the men described in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. See, I don't even think this man's father was dead yet. I just think that was an excuse that he was using. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto them, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God's will is that we surrender and follow him to victory. So I challenge you today to surrender to God. Put up the white flag of surrender and say, Lord, I surrender. All to thee I freely give. You know, I don't know how it works, but there's so many paradoxes in the Christian life. But the only way to victory is through surrender. There is no other way to be victorious in the Christian life than to simply say, Lord, I surrender. I give myself to thee. And then they commit themselves to a life of submission. These men also promised to follow the leadership of God's man. They promised to follow the leadership of Joshua. And they said, May the Lord be with you as he was with Moses. And they committed themselves to following his leadership. I hope that you can trust and follow the leadership of this church. And there is authority that is invested through the pastoral office and through others, but there is a greater authority than that, and that is the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And we need to make sure that we submit to his leadership. You know, too often we seem to rebel against any authority in our lives. None of us really like to be told what to do. I like to make my own decisions. I like to do what I want to do. But I would like to remind you today that when you became a Christian and you gave your heart to God, it was more than you just accepting Christ. You were asking Christ to accept you. And Paul described his relationship with Christ as one of a slave, a bond slave, one that he became a slave to because of his great love. And we love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. But as a slave, you become the property of Jesus Christ. You are bought with a price. You have no privileges. You have no claim to anything that allows you to make decisions for yourself. Your duty can be summed up in one word: submit. You see, if you're ever going to get to the land of promise, if you're ever going to live the abundant life, if you're ever going to get to that land that we call Canaan, the promised land, then you're going to have to submit everything to God. Have you done that, or are you holding things back from the Lord? Canaan is only for those who are subject to the will of God. And then they commit themselves to a life of separation. Finally, the people commit themselves to separating from those in their midst who refuse to comply with the commandments of the Lord. And their separation was so strong that they vowed to put to death anyone who rebelled against the leadership of Joshua. They knew that rebellion was a sure guarantee of defeat. Again, the lesson is clear for us this morning. If we want to walk in victory, there are some things that we might have to separate from. There may be even some people that we have to separate ourselves from. We need to change, perhaps, some areas of our life. If it's hindering you from God's blessing and God's best, then you must be willing to let it go. Otherwise, you will be defeated and you will be in constant danger. Is there something in your life that you're holding back from him today? Canaan is our land. It has been given to us by the Heavenly Father, and all we have to do is march in and claim it for ourselves. However, victory is not cheap. If you really want to walk in spiritual victory, if you really want to enter the promised land, you have to pay the price. Christian, what is it going to take to get you to Canaan's land today? What's it going to take to get you into the promised land, the place where you are enjoying the abundant life and the fullness of Christ? Are you willing to pay the price? Or are you saying, I think I'll stay on the other side of Jordan. I just think I'll dwell there. And I'll be the first to fall in times of trouble and trials. See, it's entirely up to you today. entirely up to you. There may be people here today that you, if you were to die today, you don't know where you would go to spend eternity. I want you to know today that you can be sure. You can be sure that when you die, you will go to heaven to be with the Lord. You just need to ask Him to forgive you of your sins and receive Him into your heart and life today. He's made everything possible for that to happen. He loves you, He died for you, and He will save you if you would simply come to Him today. I don't know your heart, but I suspect that maybe not in this congregation, but I suspect that there are a great many people that are living on the east side of Jordan. They're not willing to get involved in the battle, not willing to cross over into the promised land. Why not get in? Why not get in today? Dr. Moffat began to put away his notes, thinking that the church had been emptied. He was a bit startled to see a young boy approach him. The whole evening, the lad had gone unnoticed by the guest speaker because he had been in the loft pumping the billows of the church organ. The young boy respectfully stepped forward and relayed his newly sparked heart's passion to Robert Moffat. He explained that during the missionary's message, he felt a desire to pray about and study toward going to Africa to serve the Lord with Dr. Moffat when he grew up. Trying not to dampen the youth's zeal, Moffat smiled, patting him on the head, and counseled him to pursue whatever God would call him to do in life. Just before leaving the chapel, the missionary asked, "What's your name, laddie?" Looking up in admiration, the boy replied, "David Livingston, sir." Years later, Dr. Moffat would stand in awe at the mighty hand of God and chuckle at the irony of that wintry night in a wee Scottish church where only a few ladies and one boy would have ears to hear his message. For not only did this lad grow up to become God's chosen vessel to reach the uncharted depths of Africa for Christ, but David also won the heart of Dr. Moffat's daughter, Mary, becoming not only his partner in ministry, but also his son-in-law. Had Dr. Moffat not been obedient to the Lord and following through with the text, David Livingston may never have heard the call to go to Africa, where he was involved in slaying the Goliath of the slave trade. Had Dr. Moffat abandoned his message with its descriptions of the undiscovered secrets of the dark continent, young Livingston may never have braved the depths of Central Africa on expeditions to prepare the interior for the spreading of the gospel. And most profoundly, had Dr. Moffat wavered in his intensity of proclaiming the need for more missionaries among the Africans, David Livingston may not have felt the compelling desire to devote 30 years of his life on the mission field to evangelize the perishing souls of the African continent. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul, writing to a young minister, said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." William Cushing wrote the words, little children who love their Redeemer are the jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Here's a story about a missionary who gave the challenge and a little boy who answered that challenge and committed his life to a life of service for God. I'm challenging you this morning to be all that God wants you to be. To don't settle for the east side of the promised land, but to go in. Find out what God's will is for your life, and whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Kids, I believe that God can speak to you at a young age. I believe that God can call you to be a pastor or a missionary while you are still young. And I want kids to be involved in the battle too. Kids, we need you. Young people, we need you. We need not just the adults. We need everybody if we are going to possess the land. Nobody on the east side. Everybody going in and possessing the land. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning? Is there anybody here, first of all, by a raised hand, you would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today that I would go to heaven. I've not asked Jesus to be my Savior. But today I would like to, and I'd like to have that assurance that I know that I would be in God's presence if and when I die. Is there anybody here? Would you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. That's all. Pastor, I'm not sure today. Would you pray for me that I could be sure? I'd like to receive Christ this morning. Anybody? Christians, where are you? Are you on the east side? Or are you in the battle? If you're still on the east side, what will it take? What do you need to do? What do you need to surrender? What do you need to give up? What do you need to commit to enter into the promised land? I'm warning you today, if you stay where you are, you're going to fall. You are in danger. Please come and join in the battle. May we all be in the battle. How many Christians here today, by a raised hand, would commit to the Lord? Lord, I'm not settling on the east side. I'm going in the promised land. I'm going to be involved. Could the Lord see your hand today? Amen. Thanks. You can put them down. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this challenge from your word. And Lord, I thank you for the commitment from these people. Lord, I pray that you would do incredible things from this small church, which has had a small beginning. Lord, we don't despise the day of small things. We don't despise small beginnings. For we know that whatever work we do is great if you are in it. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up David Livingstons and others that would serve you, that would change the course of history. Lord, I pray for our kids. Lord, that there would be a maturity about them. And that, Lord, they would be challenged by you and by preachers and by missionaries. And our kids would respond to that challenge. We thank you, Lord, for what you have in store. It's not even entered into the mind of the things that you have prepared for those that love you. We thank you in advance for those things that you have prepared and that which we will see. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.